This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How leaders adapt their voice to different audiences. Learn to shift your leadership voice without losing who you are. In short, leaders who adapt their voice to different audiences earn more trust, get faster results, and create genuine connection at every level of an organization. Reading your audience before you speak is a skill you can build deliberately. Adjusting tone, pace, and detail does not mean being dishonest. It means being effective. A consistent process turns this from a talent into a repeatable practice. Definition: adapt their voice, in a leadership context, means adjusting your tone, language, pacing, and level of detail to suit the specific person or group you are addressing, while keeping your core message and values intact. It is the difference between being understood and being ignored. I once watched a sharp, experienced leader walk into a room of frontline workers and deliver the same presentation she had given to the board of directors the previous day. Same language, same data, same pace. The workers sat politely, nodded, and left the room with no idea what was expected of them. She could not understand why her message had not landed. I could see it from the back of the room. She had never thought to adapt her voice at all. This is the central difficulty of leadership voice. It is not about confidence or clarity in isolation. It is about knowing that the way you speak to one audience will actively fail with another, and having a clear system for adjusting every time before the words leave your mouth. Why changing how you speak feels like a betrayal. Most leaders who struggle with this do not lack skill. They lack permission. Somewhere along the way they picked up the idea that speaking consistently means speaking identically, that changing your tone or your register is a form of weakness, or worse, dishonesty. Here is the truth of it: a river does not stop being a river because it moves differently through stone than through sand. Your voice is the same. Your values are the same. What changes is how you shape your words to fit the terrain. The other trap is habit. You find a style that works in one setting, usually the setting where you were praised early in your career, and you repeat it everywhere. It becomes your default. The trouble is, your default was built for a specific audience that no longer represents every room you walk into. What do you need before any of this works? Before you can adapt your voice reliably, two things must be in place. Without them, the steps below become performance rather than genuine communication. First, you need clarity on your core message. Adapting your delivery only works when the substance underneath is solid. If you are unclear about what you actually want to say, no amount of tonal adjustment will save you. Write the core message in one sentence before any significant conversation. Second, you need a basic respect for every audience you address. This is not sentiment. It is practical. If you walk into a room with contempt for the people in it, they will feel it. Whatever words you choose, the adjustment of your voice must come from a genuine desire to be understood, not from a desire to manipulate. A six-step process for adapting your leadership voice. Step 1. Read the room before you open your mouth. Arrive early or take 2 minutes before a call to observe the energy. Who is there? What are their roles? What pressures are they under today? Look at posture, pace of conversation, the topics already circulating. This is not intuition. It is information gathering. I make it a rule never to speak first in any new room. Listening for 60 seconds tells me more than an hour of preparation sometimes can. Step 2. Identify what this audience needs from you right now. There are 4 things any audience primarily wants from a leader in a given moment: direction, reassurance, information, or collaboration. Your job is to identify which one is dominant before you begin. A team facing a deadline needs direction. A team that has just received difficult news needs reassurance first. A senior stakeholder preparing a decision needs clear information. A cross-functional group solving a problem needs you to collaborate, not direct. Ask yourself, what does this person or group need from this conversation? Then lead with that. Step 3. Adjust your register, not your character. Register is the formal term for the level of formality, technicality, and emotional warmth in your language. It is the most important lever you have. With a board or executive audience, keep language precise, reduce narrative, and front-load conclusions. A good script for this: the short answer is X. Here is Y, in 3 points. With a frontline team, slow down. Use plain language, and make the personal stakes clear. Try. What this means for your day-to-day is simple. Here is what changes, and here is what does not. The character underneath stays the same. The packaging changes to fit the recipient. Step 4. Match your pace to the room's energy. Leaders often underestimate the power of pacing. Speaking too quickly in a tense room signals anxiety. Speaking too slowly in a high-energy meeting signals detachment. Neither builds the trust you need. In a crisis or high-conflict situation, slow your pace by about 20%. It signals calm and signals that you have thought things through. In a creative or brainstorming context, pick up the rhythm slightly to match the energy of the room. This is not manipulation. It is the same thing a skilled musician does when they play with an orchestra instead of against it. For more on managing high-tension situations, how to de-escalate arguments during meetings gives you specific techniques for the moments when pacing alone is not enough. Step 5. Check in, then adjust again. Adapting your voice is not a one-time decision at the start of a conversation. It is a loop. About a third of the way through any significant exchange, check in. Does that make sense so far? Or am I giving you the level of detail that is useful here? This does two things. It tells you whether your adjustment is working, and it signals to the other person that you are genuinely interested in being understood, not just in being heard. That signal builds respect faster than almost anything else I know. Step 6. Close in their language, not yours. The closing of any conversation is what people carry with them. If you close in your own preferred register without adjusting to your audience, you undo the work of everything that came before. With a technical team, close with a clear next action and a timeline. With an emotional conversation, close with acknowledgement before action. With a senior leader, close with a crisp summary and a clear ask. The close should feel like it belongs to the person you're speaking with, not like a stock sign-off you paste onto every exchange. Effective feedback follows the same principle: the delivery must suit the receiver, not just the message. If you want a deeper framework for that, why effective feedback is the backbone of workplace growth is worth your time. Adapting your voice when the room is a screen. Remote and hybrid settings change the equation significantly. When you're on a video call, you lose roughly half the nonverbal information that helps you read an audience, the body language, the energy in a physical space, the small side conversations that tell you how people are really feeling. The adjustment here is deliberate over communication of tone. In a physical room, a warm look compensates for a blunt sentence. On a screen, that look is a tiny square in the corner, so the words themselves must carry more weight. Use shorter sentences. Check in more frequently. Name the tone you are trying to set. I want to make sure this feels like a conversation, not a briefing. For leaders navigating this terrain regularly, how leaders stay visible in virtual workspaces covers the broader challenge of presence. When you are not in the room, meetings in virtual settings also demand a different approach to structure. The role of communication in meeting success is a practical read for anyone who leads regular remote calls and wants them to actually work. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where leaders get this wrong. The first mistake: using complexity to signal authority. Why it happens. Leaders often confuse being understood with being underestimated. What to do instead? The clearest communicators I have ever met are the most senior. Simplicity is a sign of mastery, not of weakness. The second mistake: adjusting for the room, but forgetting the individual. Why it happens. You calibrate for the group and miss the person in the corner who's lost or disengaged. What to do instead? Even in group settings, keep one eye on the individual. A well-placed direct question, does that land for you, Mark, brings a person back and tells you whether your adjustment is working. The third mistake: adapting your voice, but not your listening. Why it happens. Leaders focus so hard on what they are going to say that they forget to just how they receive what comes back. What to do instead. After you adjust your delivery, adjust your listening too. Slow down your responses. Ask follow-up questions. Let the other person finish. Voice adaptation is not just about output. It is about creating a genuine two-way exchange. This is especially important when you're trying to foster a culture of team synergy, where collective communication habits matter as much as individual ones. The fourth mistake: treating adaptation as a one-size-fits-all adjustment. Why it happens. Leaders learn to adapt between two modes, say, formal and informal, and stop there. What to do instead? There are dozens of registers between formal and informal. Practice the spectrum. A new graduate needs something different from a seasoned professional even within the same meeting. Refine your range over time. Your pre-conversation voice checklist. Use this before any significant leadership conversation, briefing, or meeting. It takes less than 2 minutes. Number one, core message. Can I state what I need to say in one sentence? Number two, audience need. What does this person or group most need from me right now? Direction, reassurance, information, or collaboration. Number three, register. What level of formality and technical detail suits this audience? Number four, pace. What is the energy in this room and how should I match or shift it? Number five, check-in point. Where in the conversation will I pause to confirm my message is landing? Number six, close. How does this audience need me to finish with action, with acknowledgement, or with a clear ask? Print it. Keep it in your notebook. Use it until it becomes instinct. For leaders who want a structured framework to carry into team conversations more broadly, the Strong method for building synergy through every conversation pairs well with this checklist. And if you regularly need to represent your team's needs upward, the Value method for advocating with senior leadership gives you a specific tool for those conversations. The practice that makes it permanent. Let me tell you something I learned the hard way. You cannot think your way to fluency in this. You have to practice it, deliberately, in real conversations, and then debrief yourself after. What worked? Where did the room go quiet? Where did people lean in? After every significant conversation, ask yourself two questions. Did I adjust enough? Or did I default to my usual mode? And what did I notice about the other person's response that tells me whether it worked? That 10-second debrief, done consistently, builds the instinct faster than any training session I have ever seen. The leaders I most respect are not the ones who never struggled to adapt their voice. They are the ones who noticed the gap and kept working on it, conversation by conversation, room by room, until the adjustment became as natural as breathing. That is the work, and it is worth every bit of the effort it demands. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to adapt their voice as a leader? To adapt their voice, leaders adjust their tone, pace, word choice, and level of detail based on who they are speaking to. It does not mean changing your values or your message. It means delivering the message in a way the listener can actually receive and act on. How do you adapt their voice without losing credibility? Stay grounded in your core message and your genuine style, then adjust the packaging. Your credibility comes from consistency of values and clarity of thought, not from speaking the same way to everyone. When the substance stays constant, the adjustment builds trust rather than undermining it. Why is adapting your leadership voice so difficult? Most leaders default to one style because it works in some situations and feels natural. The difficulty is that what works with your board will alienate your team, and what resonates with a junior colleague may sound weak in an executive briefing. Recognizing that gap takes real self-awareness. How can leaders adapt their voice in virtual or remote settings? In virtual settings, tone and pacing carry even more weight because visual cues are reduced. Slow down slightly, use sharper sentence structure, and check in more often. Shorter, clearer messages replace the ambient communication that happens naturally in a physical room. What is the first step to adapting your voice to a new audience? Read the room before you speak. Observe who's in the conversation, what they care about, and what they already know. A quick 2-minute read before a meeting or call tells you whether to lead with vision, with data, or with a direct task. Can adapting your leadership voice become a habit? Yes, and that is the goal. With deliberate practice, audience reading and tone adjustment become instinctive rather than effortful. Most experienced leaders do it automatically in every room they enter, the same way a skilled musician adjusts the acoustics of every new venue. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.